I have two passages of scripture that you can turn to. You can turn to Revelation chapter 1 for the first part of the sermon, actually for all of it. No, not really. Just turn to Revelation chapter 1 and turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. These are our scriptures. Let me start by reading. I'm going to pick up in verse 9, and I'm going to read all till the end. Well, that's a lot of reading. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you can see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven golden lampstands was one like the Son of God, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were like white wool. His head and his hair were like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice the sound of many waters. And his right hand the seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining and his strength. And when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven lampstands, the seven stars, are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. It was worth a read. This is different. This sermon is different. I was preaching from Acts, and Charlie Kirk's death. It just impacted me in a tremendous way, and I began to think at that point that I might change this sermon, and I said, no, I'm going to go ahead. God knew what was going to happen. He knew everything. I'm just going to go ahead and stick with it like it was. And then I'd gone to see my father Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning. I got back real early and got a call from Philip. And he said there was a rock through the front door. And so I came down here and I found a rock in the front door. And my initial impression, and it still is my impression, it's okay, is that somebody threw the rock. It was intentional, and it went through the front door. And I just said, I have got to change. I have got to say something. I don't know what, but I have got to say, well, now I know, but I've got to say something. And so I am standing here, and I picked up and I read 1 John. I read the Revelation. Listen to this. I'm going to get his description. In the midst of the seven lampstands was one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded with a chest of bronze. He was clothed and girded. He was a judge and a king, and he could judge with authority. He had authority, and he had he is a judge and a king, and he had the authority. His head was like wool. His ancient days, his head is. Let me calm down. I'm pretty worked up. His head and his hair were like wool, as white as snow. This is a reminder of the Ancient of Days, and his head and his hair were white as wool. And the Ancient of Days was seated, as spoken of in Daniel, and he was seated, and they came to him, and the Son of Man came to him, and he gave him his kingdom, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. And this flame of fire, his eyes, he was penetrating. They were destructive in a way, but it represents the fact that he has the penetration. He has all seeing. He is a judge. When he can judge righteously, and he can judge mercifully, and he can judge everything. And then let's see. His head were like flame. His feet were like fine brass. His feet were like the brass. They remind us of the brazen altar where God said, where the people offered sacrifice that covered the sin, and his feet like the brazen altar of that. His voice is a voice of many waters. I can't even describe. If you ever heard many waters, like Niagara Falls, just gush, and it's just, his voice was like that. And his sword is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword in the Ancient of Days. In the ancient days, the sharp two-edged Roman sword was the most feared weapon of the day. He was the most feared weapon of the day. Listen, he is the God who is to be feared above all else. Listen to this. Listen to this. Now, this is what amazes me. He says he hates walking among the seven lampstands, which are the seven churches. And he's holding in his hand the seven. It says angels, but it's the same word for messenger. It's the same word for pastor. Luke 7:24, it's translated messenger, exact same word. And so he's talking about, he's holding the pastor in his hand, and he's walking among the seven churches. Now, these are the same seven churches that we will read, that you could read right after this in 2 and 3. They are, I mean, we read them and we go, who are these? Who are these? But listen, so what he said, I've got my eyes on them, and I've got my hands on their pastors, and I'm walking among them right now. I'm walking among them to be who I want them to be. And he watches over his church. And listen, there is repentance in every one of these. I have them written down there. Verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Verse 16, repent or else I will come to you quickly. Verse 21, and I gave her time to repent, and she did not repent. And chapter 3, verse 3, remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, repent, 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 repent. 3:19, it even says, as many as I love, I rebuke. That's not it. That's not it. It doesn't say repent. It says repent somewhere in that verse. Huh? Oh, it is. I was right. Be zealous and repent. Listen, listen. Repentance is the key. Repentance is what he was calling them to. Repentance is what he was standing on there. And he was walking among the lampstands, and he was holding the pastors in his heart. Repentance. What is a Christian? Repentance. We have for too long given a too easy believism, and we have made it out to be, it is grace and it is mercy and it is all of that. And if you believe that Jesus Christ lived and died and buried and went to the cross and rose again, then you, if you believe in that, then you will be saved. You can go and you can believe in that, and you cannot be saved unless you repent. Unless you repent, unless you turn from your ways, turn from your wicked ways. Yes, it's by grace and mercy that he provided this way of salvation, but our way of receiving it is by repentance. We used to go this way, and now we have to have a complete change of mind to start going this way. Our way is wrong, and God's way is right. Listen, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. I'm going to go ahead and read that just to make sure I get it right. Listen, you can't, this is the words of Jesus himself. He says, not everyone, listen to this, the words of Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father. That's Jesus. But he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We have to repent to receive this grace and this mercy and this wonderful gift. We have led you to believe that if all you do is just believe in that, then you're going to be okay. You're not okay. This thing is... There is a Babylon in the Bible. In the Old Testament, there's Babylon. The Jews in exile. They've gone into Babylon. They're in exile. They're living in Babylon. There is also a Babylon in the New Testament, in Revelation. It is the new Babylon. We are not living as strangers. Well, we are living as strangers and aliens in this land, but we are living more than that. We are living destitute of God. We are living destitute of God. We are living, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 14. 13. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, cisterns that can hold no water. We have rejected God. Now, this is Israel he's talking to. This is the nation he's talking to. They would have never confessed to abandoning God, just like you would never confess to abandoning God. But listen, my friends, we do. We've hewn out for ourselves cisterns that can only that are cracked, and the water comes in and it leaks out. Listen, I'm going to say some things here, and it's very, very, I don't know what you call it. Many of you have family members that fall into these categories. I want you to know something. And don't, you have to hear this before you hear anything else. I love you. And not only do I love you, but I will walk with you. And I will never suggest that you abandon your family. Never. But I will suggest that you one time let them know how you feel, and then that be it. Listen, it used to be sexual immorality. It used to be if a man had an affair or a woman had an affair, if we had sex before marriage, it used to be that was not that it was looked down upon. You hid it. Now it's nothing. Our families, we have living with each other. Listen, I will walk with you. My son lives with his girlfriend now. Lives with her. And I will walk with you and be with you and guide you. But my friends, that's wrong. It's wrong. It doesn't matter that it's my son. It's wrong. When they come to our house, they don't sit in the same room. They don't. Because they know how I feel and Cheryl feels. And they respect that. We don't talk about it. We don't sit around and talk about it. But it's the way it is. Well, actually, now that's acceptable in life. And so then along comes homosexuality. It's not accepted. It's acceptable in life too. People with a mindset that's, if before they were living in open rebellion against God, that now they have lost contact with God, and He's caused them to burn in their hearts for people of different sex, for people of the same sex. What are we going to do? I'll walk with you. I'll never tell you to abandon them. But you've got to tell them one time, this is what I believe, and this is how I feel. You don't got to make a big deal about it. I mean, it's a big deal, but you don't have to scream and holler or none of that stuff. But you've got to say, this is how I feel. So then along comes transgenderism. Huh? Am I right? So then along comes transgenderism. It's a delusion. You are under the delusion that there are many genders and that there are more, that you are not the gender that you were born. You can never change your gender. No matter how many hormones you take, no matter how many surgeries you have, you can never change your gender. You were born with a 2X or an XY chromosome, and you will always have, till the day you die, either 2X or an XY chromosome. And you can die, and 200 years from now, they can dig up your body, and they can tell if you have 2X or an XY chromosome. Now, if you have a child, I will not tell you to abandon them. I'll tell you to keep loving them, but I'll tell you that you've got to sit down and talk to them at least one time. And you don't have to, every time they come over, you don't have to have a big brouhaha, because it's not a brouhaha. They got to be loved like everybody else is loved. You have got to love them. I have some more passages of scripture here that I intended to read. This Revelation chapter, just Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 20. For of old I have broken your yoke and burst your bonds, and you said, I will not transgress. Okay, you hear that? I will not. So, went on every high hill and under every green tree. You lay down playing the harlot. 2:22, though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord. As a thief is ashamed when he is found out, so is this house of Israel, they and their kings and the princes and the priests and the prophets. Listen, I just scratched the iceberg. Every person in this room needs to repent. Everybody. We all do. We just go around like there's nothing wrong, and there is something wrong. It's wrong in the church. I can't preach to you any longer blessing without repentance. You see, not only was he walking among the seven lampstands, which are the seven churches, but then he held the seven stars in his hands. And listen, I challenge you to read. Those seven churches, they are not a pretty sight. They are an ugly sight, but he is amongst them, and he has their leadership in his hands. Jeremiah 5:30-31. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people have to, and my people love it, love to have it so, but what end? What will you do in the end? I butchered that one. Let me break. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule by their own power. And it is my people love to have it so, but what will you do in the end? I can't anymore. I've got to preach the word. I've got to preach it in power. Chapter 6, verse 14. And 15, they have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. They have also, were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? No, they were not ashamed at all, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. I was talking to the preacher just then. I'm the only preacher in here, as far as I know. That's all right, because I am not answerable to anybody but God. When I came back Saturday morning, I was convinced, and still am, that it was not by accident, that it was intentionally thrown through the window. I don't know. You tell me. You tell me. Was it intentional or not? When John was lying down at the feet of Jesus as though he were dead, Jesus put his hand on him and said, "Fear not." Boy, I'm glad he said that. Fear not. The church is in disarray, but fear not. The pastors are in disarray, but fear not. Everything is, we're church, we're living in Babylon. We're living in Babylon. We no longer have home field advantage. We're playing every game on enemy territory. We are at a loss. But he says, fear not. Fear not. Why? 3:12, Jeremiah 3:12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, "Return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity. Therefore, you have transgressed against the Lord and have scattered your dreams to aliens and deities under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, O backsliding Israel, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you from one city, one from a city, and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you the shepherds according to my heart, and I will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Then it shall come to pass that when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, that they will say no more, 'The ark of the covenant of the Lord.' It shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made anymore. At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of God, and all the nations shall be gathered to it. The name of the Lord to Jerusalem, no more shall they follow the dictates of the evil hearts. In those days, the house of Judah shall fall and shall walk in the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land to the north that I have given them as an inheritance to your fathers. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Why? Because I am a forgiving God. And if you will just simply turn and repent, I will give that to you. Revelation 2:15 is the one I picked out just because it's repentance. From what? I don't know. I know what I need to repent of. What do you need to repent of? What mode, what method, what avenue of repentance do you need to take? I really don't know. I hope it was somebody. I mean, anything I can just say, because I don't know. I hope it was somebody, because they have awakened a sleeping giant. Jesus said, I say to you, you are Peter, means rock. He said, and on this rock, I will build my church. Stand up with me if you would. I'm calling you today to repent. I'm calling you today to turn from following yourself and to start following God. Wherever He leads, I'll go. That's the song we're going to sing, but you come.